Did you welcome again? Appreciate your attendance very, very much. You can see even the announcements, we're missing quite a few people this morning for various reasons. So we're very, I am very appreciative of you being here this morning. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, ask brethren to kind of look around, and if someone doesn't have one, please share. You're very welcome to get up and go get a bulletin. If you didn't receive one already, just come back in. doing a lesson on the fruit of the Spirit that was in the text that was read to us today. This is the third lesson, and we'll close it out next Lord's Day, Lord willing, with the last three of the list in the fruit of the Spirit. But today we're just going to look at the kindness and goodness. By way of introduction, remember when you were baptized, you were promised in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when you were baptized. And then Peter goes on to say, for to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. See, God gives us the Holy Spirit. So it's reasonable to conclude that the fruit of the Spirit will contain or reveal some godly characteristics. It's His Spirit. So there's fruit to come from that. So this lesson will take the next two, kindness and goodness. Sometimes it's difficult to separate these two. It seems like they're quite a bit alike. Kind of look at kindness more as the attitude in contrast to goodness, and goodness is the action. You want to be kind when you're doing good. So these two. I'd give my definitions from W.E. Vine, wrote a book titled Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Then they also used our English Merriam-Webster and Thesaurus to kind of look at some, get a clear definition of what these words should look like. So many times when I use the dictionary, I see the definition, but also in the definition, I catch an application of it. So here's kindness. I have more definitions than I put in your notes. I put it describes an attitude of goodness towards another person. You're kind. It's showing or having a gentle, considerate nature. Good-hearted, willing to help others, benevolent, charitable, humane. I always like it when they put that word in characterizing something. Humane, because we know what that looks like. Humane, compassionate, responsive. Oh, so when I'm looking out for others, and I'm going to do good to them, I need to be kind in my goodness. Responsive, merciful, warm-hearted, cordial, sympathetic, obliging. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit. This one includes kindness. You think about the opposite, and sometimes we get a good definition when we know what it's not. In other words, if you're not kind, you're cruel. You're harsh, rough, grim. You're unrelenting, or you're fierce, or you're inhumane. So we know when we look at kindness, again, since God gives us His Spirit, it's going to demonstrate some of His characteristics. In Psalm 31, verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for He has shown His marvelous kindness. He's demonstrated His goodness with kindness. In Psalm 107, whoever is wise and will observe these things, they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So we get a picture of what we should look like, or our attitude and our behavior. That when we are kind, it should be marvelous and loving. In Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you peoples. Laud him, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 119, it said, let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. When we are kind, look at those debts, to provide something for another. It's considerate, it's gentle, charitable, benevolent, likened to the way God deals with us in his amazing grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul writes to the congregation there, he says, but God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved and raised up together, that in the ages to come, he, meaning God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. God's gracious, benevolent, charitable, merciful. All those words that characterize his kindness toward us. Rich in mercy. So if I'm going to display this characteristic of God, put those in mind when you're looking out to be benevolent toward another. I want to be kind to one another. Then it's to be characteristic of us. You know, the new man. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, since you put off the old man with its deeds, in other words, all those opposite things of kindness, you put off the roughness and the coarseness. You should have put off those things that are harsh and cruel. Put off the old man. And then put on the new man. And then he tells you this is what it looks like in verse 12. So therefore, as God's elect, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness. Right there in the list. The list continues. Humility, meekness, long-suffering. That was last week's lesson. Bearing with one another, long-suffering. Forgiving one another, oh, be kind. Be kind. Even, then he gives the example in the text, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We know what kindness looks like, don't we? Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be kindly affectionate with brotherly love, in honor of giving preference to one another. Be the first to give a compliment. Be the first to lift one another up. Be the first to give some praise or a word of encouragement. I want to prefer one another. Instead of saying, oh, nobody treated me that way. No, I want you to be kind. And you're kind. We're kind. We're kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Kindness. The next word is goodness. It's the action word. Do good. By definition, it's to be upright and kind. They're hard to separate. Kindness and goodness. My attitude of kindness should be demonstrated in my goodness, in my action. It says, do good. The dictionary says, it expresses itself in deeds. So it's not, goodness is not something that we just think or wish for. No, something is in action. Then goes on to bestow a benefit. Benevolent, helpful, favorable. desirable. If I'm going to be good, it should be profitable to you. It's a deed that's becoming or fitting. It's moral excellence, your goodness. Remember, this is something that should characterize us as God's people. Gracious. Let me use the phrase gracious goodness. Don't hear that like when I was a youngster. Gracious goodness. Of course, the opposite. It's an action that hurts. It's an action that harms. Sometimes things are done to us and we say, oh, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. Sometimes we characterize somebody, oh, they're good, but in the worst way. Well, I appreciate what they did for me, but boy, their attitude just wasn't very kind. It wasn't benevolent. He said, all right, if I have to, I will. No, I want to be gracious in my goodness. It's God's characteristic. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, do you despise the riches of God? His forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So when we think about God's gracious goodness toward us, it should lead us to move toward Him. Thank you, God, for your kindness, your mercy, your loving kindness. So God's goodness toward us should demonstrate this fruit of the Spirit that responds in the right way. I want to do what you say. We want to live in such a way that other people know on whose side we stand. Goodness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, therefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. See, I want to respond correctly. I want to respond rightly to God's goodness toward me. His merciful, loving kindness. In Psalm 31, he says, oh, how great is your goodness. Tremendous. In Psalm 107, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that's right. When I see God's favor, make it personal toward me, for the good work that He displays in my life, thank you. It's interesting, in that Psalm 107, three more times it speaks of the Lord's goodness. Verse 15, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. He repeats it again a third time in verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Again in verse 31, same words. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Oh, I want to respond to that gracious, merciful goodness that God has given me. In Psalm 136, oh, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His mercy endures forever. We have a song in our book, hymn number 83. It's saying, oh, God is so good. And it repeats it three times. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And then the next stanza, He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. God is so good. He cares for me. And then the third stanza, He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. Yeah. I want to have that characteristic of goodness in my life toward others. It should be characteristic of us. Remember, it's an action word. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, you were once in darkness. That's right. I didn't always have God on my mind. But it says, but now are the light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Then it says, for why should I walk a certain way? Why should I display the fruit of the Spirit? The next phrase is, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Right, I want my goodness to be as God defines it. God, how do you want me to display goodness toward others? What attitude? In Titus 3, verse 8, this is a faithful saying.
All right.
These things I want you to affirm constantly. Repeat it over and over again. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Oh, goodness. Be careful to do that. These things are good and profitable to men. The things that we do display that definition of goodness. Charitable, benevolent, helpful. What can I do for you? Let me get that. What do you need? Romans 12, verse 21 says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See the power of goodness. Ah, the ability that goodness has. No wonder it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit. So be kind in your goodness. I'm going to close it with this illustration. It's in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 38. It's not in your notes. But Jeremiah 38. It tells about a king named Zedekiah, an Ethiopian servant in his house named Ebed-Melech, and Jeremiah the prophet of God. Those three people, the king, the servant, and Jeremiah. The nation of Judah was experiencing some troublesome times, and they were in a battle with the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar. So Jeremiah, in his preaching and in his prophecy, he predicted the capture of Judah. He forecasted that nation's defeat. Boy, careful, Jeremiah, what you're saying. Telling them that they're going to lose the battle. Well, the people didn't like what he had to Jeremiah of giving aid to the enemy. So the people found a way to get Jeremiah arrested. And in Jeremiah 38, verse 6, so they took Jeremiah, cast him into the dungeon of Micaiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. So here's a prison and a courtyard. And they let Jeremiah down with the ropes in the dungeon or the cistern in the middle of the court. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. And Jeremiah sank in the mire. Well, Ebed-Melech, the king's servant, he couldn't bear the thought of Jeremiah dying in that dungeon. So he begged the king to let him rescue the prophet. And the king granted the request, and he did even more. He says, not only will I let you go rescue Jeremiah, I'm going to give you 30 men to help you. Wow. Aren't you kind? The king. And gracious and good in your kindness. It did more than what was expected. So in Jeremiah 38, beginning of verse 11. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, went to the house of the king under the treasury, and took from their old clothes and rags. And he let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech said to Jeremiah, put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes. And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with the ropes, lifted him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison, up from the miry clay. You see, what Ebed-Melech did was kind, wasn't it? It was good. It was gracious. He could have pulled Jeremiah up with just the ropes. Yeah. But he didn't want Jeremiah to suffer additional hurt while being lifted up from the mire with just the ropes under his armpits. That's second mile compassion. That's gracious goodness. And like that story with Ebed-Melech rescuing Jeremiah, we want our kindness and goodness to have heart. We want our goodness to be with a plus. a little bit more. Goodness with an extra measure. Kindness that is gracious. The poem, I don't know who wrote it. But it says, we recall the kind old grocer, you know, the grocery store man. We recall the kind old grocer when the sugar he would pour, how he had tipped the scales to balance, and then he'd add a little more. And his business, how it prospered. Folks were always in his store, for he gave an honest measure, and he added a little more. So it is with life, my brother. We will write a better score when we've done what is expected and add a little more. So that's the lesson. Kindness and goodness. Next week, we'll talk about faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to close out the series. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one here this morning is not a member of the New Testament church. You need to obey the gospel to become a Christian. And there's a simple plan or process or procedure that we mention each time. Number one, you'll need to hear the word of God. And that's an obvious one, isn't it? Jesus told his apostles to, at his closing words, go into all the world, preach the gospel. You know, tell everybody about this saving grace. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, even someone you haven't heard. So you have to hear that God so loved the world. You have to hear that message. Second, you'll need to believe it. Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24. Except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in your sins. I want to hear a good news gospel message, and I want to believe it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And then there's a third step, and Jesus said it too. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. Don't want to die in my sins, don't want to perish. Then there's a fourth step, and that's confession of your faith. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 8 when Philip preached a message about Jesus to the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian interrupts his sermon. Says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he makes a confession of his belief. Said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip, the next verse says, commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And number five, they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. And they come up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. You hear me say it. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. The angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents in Luke chapter 15. So that's the simple plan or the process or procedure of becoming a Christian. If you haven't obeyed that already, you had that opportunity this morning. All things are ready. We just need you to fulfill your desire or your wanting to do that. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song of Jesus this morning. Again, if that's what you'd like to do, obey that simple gospel plan or message, please come and have a seat at the front, and we can certainly honor.